The number of college places in speech and language and other therapies is to be increased by 160 over 2 years. The 35% increase is an attempt by the government to address what are significant healthcare shortages and waiting lists. We're joined from our Limerick studio by the Minister for Further and Higher Education, Patrick O'Donovan. Good afternoon, Minister.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Would it be fair to characterise this announcement as a catch-up measure? It's welcome, but there's a backlog there that has to be got through.
No, I think it's welcome, and I think that significant progress has been made by our department in working with the Health Service Executive and others, particularly the universities over the last while, in terms of trying to increase the number of therapies places that we have available to us. Look, we know, my predecessor, Donal Taoiseach, had a lot of work done on this, and we know from the Cabinet Subcommittee on Disability that we do need to get more people into the field in terms of speech and language, occupational therapy and others. So when it comes to the universities, we have had a very, very positive engagement from the Royal College of Surgeons, Trinity, DCU, UL, University of Galway, UCC and others as well for the future. But we recognise that, you know, these are places that will be in the first instance become available now to the cohort of students that have just done their Leaving Cert and who are about to get their results and their CAO offerings. And thereafter, there'll be another increase in the 24. So there's an increase for 24-25 and there'll be an increase for 25-26. So it represents about a 35% thereabouts increase in the total number of physio, OT and occupational therapists.
Your plan also involves what's termed strengthening infrastructure within the HSE. What does that actually mean and how long will it take?
So look, we can't do this without clinical placements. We can't do this without the cooperation of the HSE and the Department of Health, and we're very grateful for that, because we need clinicians to be able to teach our speech and language therapists, our OTs, our physios, everybody else. And it's not only in this that we have ambition for, it's also in the area of dentistry and medicine and nursing. We have, you know, we want to add additional places across our universities, and we want the technological...
But how long?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, this is where we've started. A considerable work has been done, and it's not just been done in this jurisdiction. It's also been done with universities in the north in a collaborative way to grow the number of healthcare specialists and healthcare professionals that are coming out of Irish universities in the 32 counties. So a significant amount of work has been done on this. Obviously, in the upcoming budget, I'll be looking to try and grow not only the therapies that I referred to there a while ago, speech and language, OT and physio, but I'll also be looking to try and grow other things like dentistry, veterinary, pharmacy, in universities across the country.
We've been hearing about the controversial decision to suspend a significant number of planned services in the University Limerick Hospitals Group. You're from the Midwest yourself. Consultants there say switching off essential services is not acceptable. Do you believe what's happening is acceptable?
Well, I think before I come to that, I just heard Bernard Glass's commentary there a while ago, and I think it's important to point out for your listeners that over the last number of years, UHL's budget has increased by 44%. It's an additional 117 million. There's 1,200 people more working in the hospital. There's 168 more doctors, 56 more consultants, 428 more nurses, as well as 117 more healthcare professionals. And that hospital is servicing, together with Nina Innes and St John's, an area of 400,000, just between 400,000 and a half a million people. However, I'm pleased that we have somebody with local knowledge as the CEO of the Health Services Executive. But he made a comment there a while ago that I think, you know, we should all take very seriously as representatives of the area. The patient flow is not being utilised in the public interest, is what I wrote down as I was listening to it. And that to me is very serious. And, I spoke to Bernard Gloucester during the week when this first came out in terms of what the impact would be and the reason for it and things like that. And, you know, the rationality he gave was to me during the week was around the regional management structure, together with himself, basically resetting UHL. Now, I heard the vox pop or the piece that was done by the hospital consultant earlier in the morning, where she said this wouldn't be acceptable in Dublin. It shouldn't be accepted anywhere, but unfortunately UHL was reconfigured a number of years ago, and since then there has been systemic problems in the hospital. And I know that you asked about Mr. Justice Frank Clark's report. I'm very anxious, as I'm sure most of the public representatives in this area are, to see what Mr. Justice Clark has written by way of a report to the Chief Executive of the Health Service Executive, because we all need to, as people that are living in this area, we need to know that our hospital is safe and that it's been properly run. And if Bernard Gloucester is, after finishing up an interview a while ago, saying that for all of the hospitals that he has responsibility for, and with all of the resources that have gone into UHL over the last number of years, that there are still problems in UHL that don't exist anywhere else, well, then that's something that I think, as the accounting officer for the HSE, he's obliged to try and fix. And I think a while ago he gave you a rationale and an explanation as to why he is making this intervention now and trying to fix it.
Minister Patrick O'Donovan, thank you for joining us from Limerick.